Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on earth nations will be in dismay, perplexed by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will die of fright in anticipation of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of heaven will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. But when these signs begin to happen, stand erect, raise your head, because your redemption is at hand. Beware that your hearts do not become drowsy from carousing and drunkenness and the anxieties of life, and that they catch you by surprise like a trap. For that day will assault everyone who lives on the face of the earth. Be vigilant at all times, and pray that you have the strength to escape the tribulations that are imminent to stand before the Son of Man." The Gospel of the Lord. So I don't know if you were able to catch the three images, the three things in each of the readings that God does. In the first reading, God keeps God's promise to act rightly and justly. The second reading, God will strengthen us, making us increase and abounding in love. And the third reading, our redemption is at hand. God saves us now. So the first reading, Jeremiah, or God actually, speaks to Jeremiah that God will fulfill God's promise that after 70 years of Babylonian captivity, that God will restore and fulfill God's promise made to the house of Judah and Israel, so that they would say, "The Lord is our justice." And elsewhere in the book of the prophet Jeremiah, God says this, "I will place my law within their hearts. No longer they will say, we will not know God, but that everyone, from the least to the greatest, will know in their heart. And I will no longer keep the iniquities, and I will no longer remember their sins." God keeping God's promises. I'm reminded of a wise humor of an elderly nun. And she says this, "Tree, God is not on time, but God is never late." And I'm like, really, sister? Yes, God always keeps God's promises. God's ways are not our ways. God's schedule, not oftentimes our schedule. But God acts when the time is right and the time is fulfilled. You know, in Advent, we will hear many readings, many stories, and all these stories about people waiting for the fulfillment of God's promise. Anna and Simeon, Zechariah, Elizabeth, Mary and Joseph. And that God always keeps God's covenant, even though human beings do not. I think I may have asked you this question before. Has God ever not kept any promises to you? Sure, we may think that God should keep God's promise, or God should do this or that, cure this person, or give us this job, or give us an A. But has God ever promised something in your life God hasn't delivered? like many families, my family are not perfect. So we celebrated Thanksgiving, and the majority of us were there. And we can't help. We can't help but remark how good God is to us. We actually had the first time in our family retreat from 1 year old to my dad, 83 years old. And we had a whole retreat together. And you know, it's quite a zoo, actually. But during the retreat, my sister said this. My sister, who 2 months ago lost her husband of 19 years. My brother-in-law is such a great man, a great scoutmaster, a great son-in-law, a compassionate human being. And it's been tough on her and for and the family, particularly my 7-year-old niece and her 3 siblings. And there were a lot of tears. But my sister said this so surprisingly. She said, in the past 2 months of grieving his loss and of learning to connect with him beyond this life, and that she says somehow that in the past 2 months she comes to love him and she comes to know and learn from him much more than the past few years. Strange, in a very surprising way, out of her incredible loss, sudden heart attack, comes this gift that she doesn't wish on anybody, and yet. And we talked about how this is part of God's mercy. Because we think God's mercy is oftentimes, oh, God is bigger and we're smaller, so God takes pity on us. But actually, mercy is God's unrelentless goodness. God's unrelentless love. And oftentimes it means forgiveness. It means healing. And God always acts with mercy and justice. In fact, Pope Francis says, does God judge? Yes, God judges. Pope Francis says, God judges on the cross. Instead of us deserving things that we deserve, in Christ's outstretched hand, in God's self-giving love, God judges. And only when you and I come to know of this mercy, God's unrelentless goodness and love, can we be merciful as God is merciful. But if you and I don't open ourselves to that, we won't really know, because they're just words. But when you and I know how other people and God is so good to us, even though we don't keep our end of the bargain, and we don't keep our promises, and our parents and people who loved us almost unconditionally keep their end of the bargain. Even when we hurt them, even when we let them down, they still show up. Sure, sometimes they still kick our butt because we need to learn. But they will still be there, and they won't abandon us, even though they have to sit there and watch us suffer the consequences of our dumb choices. Unrelentless mercy. And this is God fulfilling God's promise. The second thing God does in the second reading, very related. God will strengthen us in love and abounding in love. The same sense of mercy. It's astounding, actually, when I quoted Jeremiah, that God, what God wants to do is to come closer to you and I, that in our lived experience, we come to know God's law, God's mercy, not on books, not on stone, not in movies, deep in our own heart. And this is what God wants to do. And this is why God wants to become a human being. So God will speak the language that you and I know. So God will strengthen us by extending God's utter mercy, unrelenting love. Do we trust this? God saves us now. You know, the gospel, you know, today, I think in 2012, there was a movie about the end of the world. And we focused so much on the end of the world. And it's true. Jesus talks about there will be signs with the sun, the moon, and the stars, and the roaring of waves, and the powers of heaven will be shaken, and people will die of fright, and the Son of Man will come great in glory. So when we think of the apocalypse, we think of sudden, catastrophic destruction. But actually, the word apocalypse means to uncover, to reveal, to strip away. It's almost like these things in creation needs to happen to strip away, to reveal what is greater. And Jesus says this, but when these signs begin to happen, don't focus on them. Stand erect and know that your salvation is here, that this is part of God's saving love. Just like in my sister's life, we have no idea why God, when my brother-in-law died so young. But we do know what my sister is learning. We do know what God does through our human suffering. And Jesus says further, be aware that your hearts be not become drowsy from carousing and drunkenness. And yeah, maybe some of us don't do that. But here's the one. From the anxieties of life, from all the shopping we have to do, from all the exams we have to take, from all the responsibility at work we have to confront. And Jesus says this, look for the signs, but don't focus on them. Focus on what God is doing now. Focus on God's promise to write the law of mercy in our heart, that God will give us, will strengthen us, and God saves us now. Not yesterday, not in the future, now. And when we receive the body and blood of Christ, this is Christ, is God coming ever closer to us and speaking in the language that we know of. So that's why it's important after receiving communion to spend at least 30 seconds to a minute just simply breathe and allow God to be with you. When I was in the Philippines a few years ago, a 79-year-old Irish missionary who's been in the Philippines for 30 years was captured by a terrorist group for a month. And we thought he was about to die, that he was going to die. Because why? They demanded $2 million ransom from the Irish government because he's an Irish national. But of course, you don't give in to terrorists. So we thought he was going to die. But surprisingly, a month later, he was released. Maybe possibly because his heart was failing. And this is what he shared from his 1 month of captivity. The first 5 days, I was mad at God. In prayer, I asked, God, why did you let this happen? Then I began to learn something. I've been learning again and again and again. Just let God love me. My body and time belongs not to me and to my captors, but my heart and my soul, that belongs to God. All I have to do is just let God love me. When I accepted this, I was at peace, and my worries did not take a hold of me. When I accepted this, my worries did not take a hold of me. I was at peace. Just let God love me. So true in my life. When I get nervous, when I get impatient, I do things and I try to make things happen. And I don't know about you, but when that happens, my life doesn't go that well. I may get things in my way. But the kind of peace and freedom? No. But when I let God love me and let God act in my life, God who knows best, God who loves me and knows what is most fruitful, life-giving at this moment. So Advent and Jesus invite us to watch and pray for the coming of the Lord. And for many of us, prayer is asking for things. Sure, that's important. But that's not the heart of prayer. The heart of prayer is to trust and to let God love us. What do we begin the Our Father with? Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Give us this day our daily bread. Prayer is simply trusting and letting God love us in the little things, in the everyday things. So when Jesus says, watch and pray, he means trust in God's promise, a God who always keeps God's promise, not just in the past, not just in the future, in the very now. And God often works in a way you and I don't understand, as in the case of my sister, as in the case of Father Synod. Today, at the beginning of Advent, we are called to focus on God rather than our worries, our concerns, our many agendas. We are invited to turn our gaze on God's promises rather than our problems. Yes, we need to face our challenges and our weaknesses, but to focus on God's care, on God's mercy, God's unrelentless love. And to let God, who walks with us, let God lead us through the wilderness of our worries and bring us to greater meaning and purpose, including through our sufferings. When we focus on God's love and care, we approach things differently. We have deeper insight and greater strength. Let us not miss that Jesus is coming now, even though we are preparing for Christmas, even though we're waiting for the second coming. The third sense of coming is Christ, God, wants to come to us now in three ways. Let us pray with trust. Let us love with mercy. Let us act with justice. Let us pray with trust. Let us love with mercy. Let us act with justice.